Hello, Carm here. And we're talking, here on the podcast, the trending topics that allow you to formulate the important decisions that you need to make. Hey, thanks for tuning in on your favorite podcast listening app. Carm Capriotto, the aftermarket podcast guy here. And with me is Ron Tinner, owner of Sparks Tire and Auto, along with his daughter, Jessica Carino. Jessica will become the owner, and they share their story about making a family succession of ownership work. Family succession? Well, it can be different than selling to a non-family member, yet many components of a transaction are similar. Jessica and Ron were very forthcoming, and business coach David Justice from Repair Shop of Tomorrow helped shape the plan with Ron and Jessica, and he shares some great insights. This episode is flowing with knowledge that you can use, really, really good stuff. Hey, a note about shopware and shop marketing pros who are important partners of the Academy. Now, are you tired of your cookie cutter website? Is it bringing you new clients? Well, let our friends at Shop Marketing Pros create a website that is as unique as your shop is. On the web at shopmarketingpros.com, Shopware is as easy as 1, 2, 3. Shopware's shop management system allows customers to review, approve, and pay for repairs all in one place. Keep your staff and your customers safe while maintaining profits and keeping your customers happy. That's a good thing. Learn more at getshopware.com/carm. Did you know how much I love to pull great guests and great topics together to keep the content library fresh, different, exciting, and relevant? Well, you've got a resource right here, second to none in the industry, for your edification.
You know, all of that has to be discussed. The plan has to be put in place. And then I always move it backwards and figure it out. We need X amount of years. We have to put this amount of money put away, so on and so forth. And we build a plan.
Hey, more like that in a minute. You know, it's evident each week how much I love to podcast. You can watch this show's video on my YouTube channel or right on the show page on my website. Go to remarkableresults.biz/A188. Get the key talking points, bios, and links to my guests' previous episodes right there. If you want to be a stronger member of the podcast tribe, I'd love to have you subscribe to my email list. It's free, and you'll be the first to know of every new episode and the going on here of the Aftermarket's premier podcast, whose intentions are to help all ships rise. RemarkableResults.biz/insider and sign up. I'll never sell your email. Have you enjoyed the fun, fast and furious weekly aftermarket magazine-style broadcast? We call it Aftermarket Weekly. Well, we bring you trending topics, insights from your industry peers, a live shop tour, and information you could use to help you make decisions and thrive. We're live Tuesdays, noon Eastern time. Go to aftermarketweekly.com and watch it live and see all the archived episodes. You know, succession is one of the hottest trends in our industry. So many want to retire, pass the business on to family, or sell to a team member. Selling to another shop owner or group, it's also in the cards. We can't talk enough about this. Enjoy. Today, oh my God, succession, creating the next career, internal candidate, family. We're not talking about this enough. And of course, that's my opinion, but I may be right. And I think there are three people here that are going to help confirm that I may be right and that we need to talk more about this. I'm with Jessica Carino, Sparks Tire and Auto. Hello, Jessica.
Hello, Carm.
Jessica is the daughter of Ron Tinner, and Ron's with us. Hello, Ron.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you, man. You've been on the podcast before, and another great contributor to the podcast, David Justice from Repair Shop of Tomorrow.
Great to be here, Carm.
In fact, I think I threw this out at you and I said, hey, what client may you have that can come here and share as much as they're willing to share about, you know, how you make succession work inside of a family business? And of course, this is an internal family candidate, which makes it unique and different versus an internal non-family candidate or selling on the outside. You know, raise your hand out there in the audience. How many, you know, are in a family business? And how many are in first or second generation? And what's the stats that we go out to second and third generation? And how terrible those stats are that we succeed the business, no matter if it's family or not family. Let's jump in this thing. Jessica or Ron, ever assume that you knew what your dad wanted to do? Or did you know with Jessica that you would love to see Jessica do this? I mean, the other person's intentions, the communication piece, I think is so critical here.
Early on in life, she showed no interest in the family business. She wasn't ever mechanically driven. She went to college to take life in a different direction. she graduated college during the Great Recession. She came back home. She came to work for us. And within a very short period of time, you could just tell that she was absolutely enthralled in the business side of what we do, not the repair side. After watching her, I would say, take the reins in some of the positions that I used to have to do all of it, as a lot of business owners do, I watched her grow, and I just decided that this is something we needed to discuss, because I didn't inherit this business. I bought this business from a gentleman that I worked for 15 years. He had the same mindset. He came to me 5 years before retirement and said, here's what I think we should do. So we got involved 5 years out and made a plan and moved on. I've got more time to work with Jessica, so we put it in place quite a few years ago. So we know when I'm going, where the money will be to pay me, and so on and so forth. If you see somebody, whether it's family or not family, if you see somebody you think should have that position and may want it, you got to talk about it very early on, because this isn't something you can just make happen in 6 months' time.
How about your side of this, Jessica?
Well, when I graduated college in 2008, I had a degree in geography and architecture. So I wanted to go into home building, and we all know what happened to the housing market. So there was no positions for me with a degree that I had. So thankfully, Dad brought me on, gave me a job so I could support myself. And I'm very thankful for that. And as I like to tell everybody, he never got to get rid of me. He's stuck with me now. I loved the position I was in. I started in marketing and then kind of moved on to the bookkeeping CSR side. And now I'm learning all of the business aspects, have been for a few years now. That way he can eventually move out and I can take over everything that he does.
Jessica, take me to the day that you and your dad sat down and he said, hey, maybe it's time.
It's something that I had already been thinking about. So when he brought it up, it was a no-brainer.
It was a no-brainer because you had already felt that it was the right thing to do. You just were hoping that Dad one day, me and Dad, could sit down and have that conversation.
Correct. I was waiting for him to bring it up.
Waiting for him. Ron, was it an uncomfortable thing for you?
No, actually, the first time I brought it up was just a typical Sunday dinner, sitting around enjoying the afternoon, and I just told her, I think this is something we need to talk about. Those who know me, I'm not afraid of the day I check out. Never know when that day is going to be, but I want a plan way out ahead. Hopefully, I'm here for a long time, but if I'm not, I need to know that all the people that work for me, as well as my wife and daughter and granddaughter, are all taken care of. So that plan needed to be taken care of right away.
But what was it that said, you know, I think this is going to work? What did you see?
Her ability to just jump right in and take over, actually throw ideas at me. You know, at that point, I've been doing it for 10, 12, 15 years, and I thought I had it all figured out. And she'd say, hey, what if we did this? And I'd go home and think about it and say, you know what? That's a great perspective. This girl is already starting to think about 10 years down the road. We need to get together and figure this out. So she's got a great business mind.
And obviously, you weren't trying to impress Dad. That's just how you are. So he saw that in you. And that's probably, Ron, when you said at that Sunday dinner, hey, you gained confidence, right, Ron?
Absolutely. You know, everybody wants to know. I think everybody wants to know that if something happens or when you're ready to move on to something else, like now the coaching side of life, I know that I can leave. My boys all have a career that they're not going to have to worry about being in jeopardy because business slows down. Nothing changes if you do this right.
You know, David, I've got to go to you since you're a former shop owner, multi-shop owner, and now a business coach, a successful one, and I know you work closely with Napa on stuff. You see this so often, and what would be the whispering coaching moments you give to shop owners about situations like this?
Well, I think Ron said it about either acquiring someone or finding someone in your shop, whether it be family or employee, and having those conversations, seeing what their thoughts are and their mindset and their goals. But so many of these businesses, our businesses, I should say, are not sold. People walk away from. It just hurts my heart. As long as we start to build and plan and really put a plan in place, there's no reason that we can't get paid for what we've done in our business.
Are we bashful, David, at all when it comes to trying to find the candidate, be it a family member or an internal candidate? We just don't know how to pull the trigger and talk about it?
Well, I think it's very uncomfortable when you start to talk about family members. You know, Ron had mentioned a Sunday dinner. What if there's someone else, brother or sister or what have you, that feels that they should have that opportunity, let alone getting involved in business with family if something doesn't work out? There's quite a challenge there down the road. With talking to employees, the minute that you say to someone, what's your goals and maybe you'd like to buy this business, some people would have thoughts, oh my gosh, this guy's selling the business, I'm not going to have a job. So we just need to be upfront and talk about people's goals and see if they align. And that's how we start the conversation.
Again, Ron and Jessica, I don't want to go into too much depth and too personal depth, but I've got to throw what I think is a wild card out there as far as family. Do you have any other brothers and sisters, Jessica?
No.
That makes it easy, but I want to mention, and I don't know who can respond to this, when there's other family members, and even if they're not in the business, it's in mom and dad's estate, if you will, they own the business, one of the siblings has shown interest and they think it's the right thing to continue the business, but there's other, if you will, quote unquote, shares. Even though they don't have shares, they almost feel that they have a right to the business. Can any of you discuss that? Have you ever talked to people of the complications that happen with family businesses?
I can speak to it just for myself. Growing up, I had a brother. He actually was working with my father as well. I went away to play ball and then went and got went to school, came back, and he decided that it wasn't for him. And I went to school to be a phys ed and health and minor in learning disabilities. So when I got out, it was not the income that I had hoped for. So my dad said, come on back and work for us. And that's how I got back into the automotive and very thankful.
Ron, any comment on that you would want to share with a fellow that had, you know, there's more family involved?
Well, the way that I acquired this business was pretty much that. The gentleman had a son and a daughter, both of which felt that they had the right to the business, and it became a family debacle to where the brother and sister weren't going to work together, and neither one of them come up with an agreement on how the other would get it. So he finally said enough's enough and agreed that I would purchase the business so that he knew it would go on, but he wanted it to not be just sold outright to somebody he didn't think would keep it running. So I come straight from that.
And that's the part of the reason why businesses do not transist into the secondary or the third generation. They just can't figure it out.
We're working on the fourth. Our little one wants to take it over when she gets up here.
You wrote to me, Jessica, a 7-year-old. She's 7 now, and she already says, hey, when can I be the boss?
Yep. We had that discussion the other night. And I only have one, so I don't have to worry about siblings fighting either.
And if you met Lana Mae, she is the boss.
She is the boss.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, learn why Ron Tinner will be sure Jessica will have a business coach. Hey, Carm here. Are your competitors ranking higher than you in search? Is your marketing company using plain vanilla recycled content? And does your marketing look like every other shop's, and you're not even sure it's working? Powerful, effective marketing is not cookie cutter. It should showcase all of the things that are unique about your business. Don't you think you deserve better results? It's time to make a change. Our good friends at Shop Marketing Pros are past shop owners and industry veterans. They get it. Their process is pretty simple. Listen, create, and do. They spend time getting to know you and create a unique marketing message and then do the heavy lifting for you so you can do what you do best. Run a shop and fix cars. Do yourself a favor. Give your shop the top-notch marketing it deserves. Schedule a call today on the web at shopmarketingpros.com. That's shopmarketingpros.com. Don't wait. Do it now. Shopware's innovative shop management system will give you back your time and put more money in your pocket. Make the switch today and watch technician efficiency gain 20%, enjoy increased recommended service, and even grow the highest parts profit margins ever with the smallest amount of work. You know, Steve from Ultimate Automotive says, I love that Shopware lets you complete every estimate on the inspection, and we even have a higher ARO, receive more approvals, and have had a significant increase in revenue. With our previous SMS, estimating was limited because it was so time-consuming. This impacted not only what we could sell on each customer's current visit, but also what we would have prepared for following visits. Hey, your peers are happy. Let Shopware work for you. Book a demo at getshopware.com. So, David, we really need to start early in our business life cycle, if you will, to start thinking about it. You know, here I have, you know, a 10-year-old son or a daughter, and maybe they show capabilities of, you know, being, you know, a kinesthetic learner. They get this stuff. I can see them, you know, possibly being in the business. Who knows what their goals would be. Do I start figuring out how to put money away? You know, you don't sit down with a 10-year-old and have that discussion. But again, if you're in your 40s and you say, hey, at 55, it's 15 years, is it too early to start even thinking about how to potentially put a transaction together or save money?
Absolutely not. The earlier start, the better that it will be and the more options that you'll have. We talk about, and I know Ron will probably talk about it, the Profit First, the book. And I just think that that's fantastic where you build silos. And, you know, really what it does is allow you to control your spending, to understand what you're doing and where it's going, so on and so forth. So for me, my father brought me in and I had to learn the business side, meaning the book work and all of that, before he let me go have fun and go work on cars. So kind of was a little backwards, but it really worked out well learning the business from that side. But with that said, when you use Profit First or start having silos or start early, whatever you may use, you give yourself a much greater opportunity for success, because then you have some of those dollars put away so that when you do choose to make that transition, if you will, we've already gone through the heavy lifting. So it's very important. I always talk about being in front of it, not behind it.
We cannot teach someone how to do succession planning in a 40 or 45 minute. More the reason that on the team of this discussion, when you start wanting to have it, would be, in my opinion, as a business coach who really knows the industry, knows your business, an accountant, a good attorney, and a commitment amongst the family of open and honest dialogue, that it may hurt in some cases and it may not. We can always leave and come back and talk about it. Ron, share with us some of the ways that, you know, the how, what kind of advisors did you pull together to pull this off?
Personally speaking, Dave and I have talked about it endlessly, reached out to the gentleman I bought the business from, got his insight. You're right. You have to get your attorneys involved. I had to wrap everything up into my trust. I had to make sure that that's covered in the event that my wife and I both cease at the same time. There are endless avenues you have to go down. Insurance agents. You want to make sure that you have proper insurance in place. You want to make sure you have life insurance policies that cover both of you or however many of you are involved, so that in the event of an early demise, that there's always a backup plan that takes care of keeping everything in place. You're going to need a whole team of people to make this work. It's no different than deciding you're going to buy a business outright and go into a bank. You're not just going to walk in and get money and go over, and it's not like buying a car. There's a whole team of people that have to make this happen. The nice thing about planning ahead of time is you got plenty of time to make it happen.
You know, Ron brings up such a great point. It's probably going to be one of the most difficult decisions, business decisions you're going to make, and some of the longest, hardest, toughest, I guess the word is decisions again, because you cannot be lackadaisical. You cannot be lazy about it. Such an important transition, the transaction, that this is your baby. And, you know, Jessica's the heir apparent, even though she's only a, you know, one child in the family. The structure, you just can't say, hey, one day I'll be gone. Just give me a check for me and mom every week. And, you know, so that we can eat, you know, maybe go on one vacation. And then all of a sudden they find out years later that there's no real transference of equity or anything because they didn't pay attention to some of the details. Jessica, for you, was this kind of wow, I can't believe it. We're talking to lawyers. We're signing documents. You know, we've got a plan. I have insurance on my life that goes into the business if I'm not here. Was this all like strange to you?
It was a lot to take in at first. There's so much that goes into it that I never really thought of. And when we started going through it, it really became real. It was like, okay, this is happening and this is how life is.
Ron, anything surprise her?
No, she's been raised to not let things surprise her. Just grasp them and run with them.
Pretty much.
She's done very well. She's ready to go. I'm not.
Let's talk about that. So you became a part-time coach working for Dave in his great company, and that seems to be one of the plans that shop owners are doing. They're watching the transition happen, but they're deciding to, you know, I don't know, pay it forward inside the industry.
I was a technician for 35 years. My wife had come to grips with the fact that I was going to move on and teach. And once I became a client of Dave's and really started to understand business to a different level, I should say, once I got good at what I do, at working on it instead of in it, the thought of helping other guys that are going through the same thing I used to go through makes me happy. I can't even begin to tell you how fun it is to sit and coach. It's no different than teaching my crew how to do what they do and sitting back and watching them succeed at it. When you help another shop do the same thing, it's very fulfilling.
Jessica, I have a question about your business acumen. Now, you've been involved in the business about 10 years now?
Roughly, yes.
What's missing going forward that you need to learn?
All of the small things that don't happen very often. So, you know, when we have to go to the accountant's office or go to the attorney, that happens so very few that I don't have enough practice in it yet. The day-to-day paperwork, the day-to-day running the shop, I've done that for the last 10 years. I'm good with that. It's the things that he does that I may not know about that I still need to learn.
What are you doing that Dad doesn't do well?
Before I came on full-time back in 2009, he had never done any marketing before. And that's something that is completely different in our business today. That is one of our main focuses that we do every day. And that's really not his forte. That is what I handle. And then I've taken on all of the bookkeeping as well. So there's times where he hasn't had enough practice in it in the last 10 years that I have to help him. So it kind of makes me feel good.
And if I could just mention one thing, maybe a little organizational skills. You know, Jess is very, very organized. She knows her numbers inside out. She knows her software management system inside out. She's going to do fantastic.
Thank you, Dave.
I've spoken to some former owners who've done transactions with internal candidates but non-family. And part of the plan over a 5 or 6 year period is they earned equity into the business and put money away. And I want to go back to putting that money away here in a minute. But one of the things that was included in the deal, if you will, the deal, the contract, the agreement, was that they were going to have a business coach that person. They had a business coach there and they just said, hey, now you've got a new client. And that's going to be my successor. How important is that?
From my opinion, in my career, I had mentors help me. And moving forward, Big Box bought my stores. But with so many of our other clients that have internal candidates, first of all, we have to have a playbook. We have to have a playbook of our system, operation, procedure, exactly what we're doing. Hopefully, they're already championing your processes. It never goes without having a mentor to be able to look at it and keep your business on the right path. So many times, we're our own problem when we look in the mirror as business owners. So having a coach to help you again, stay on task, looking at your system operation procedures is amazingly important. The next thing is if that business owner is holding any kind of paper, his success is to help that internal candidate be successful. So it makes sense. And for owners that really care about that candidate, I think that really shows exactly how they feel to have that candidate get some coaching. There's many different great coaching companies out there. I would suggest for sure, if you have a candidate that's coming in, that that type of a plan is the only way to go.
So you're suggesting get some help. And Ron, you have to believe in this, because is Dave coaching Jessica?
Dave is coaching me. He's been my coach for 3 to 4 years now. I hope to pass on that legacy to Jessica. She and Dave have a great relationship. I don't want to be her coach. That's not fair to her. I will hold her accountable to some things and not to others, and she needs a coach that will hold her accountable to everything.
It almost sounds logical, guys. Even if you know, as you are a coach now, Jessica would say, all right, Dad, what would Dave say? You don't want that, right? Don't want that.
But at the same point in time, I know whether you're coaching your son or whatever in baseball, we can equate it to so many times I'll mention something and it kind of is one in one ear and out the other. But then the other coach will come in and say something to him and he would adhere to it immediately. So I just think that being a step away is the right way to go. For me personally, I've seen it with my own children. So I believe that that's the right thing to do.
Dave, let me ask you a question about equity. Yes, Jessica is a family member. We don't want to know the structure of the deal. It doesn't matter to us because it's private and it's family. You've got to transfer equity sooner or later over time. Do you see deals being formulated and shaped over a 5 or 6 year period? Do you see a non-voting shares moving? Give me an idea.
Really, it depends on how big the business is, quite frankly, because it comes down to the down. Is the owner carrying the money, or is the person that's purchasing going to the bank? So there's many different levels of putting this deal together. Who's paying for whose insurances, so on and so forth, whether it be life insurance. What I see is early on, Ron and I had the pleasure to be on the Napa National Board. Gary Plimmer was there. We've talked about him. And he had a 7-year, I believe it was, plan put in place with multiple guys that work for him. They had everything written out. So when you talk about equity, they purchased a portion basically of equity each year down the road. And the benefit for Gary or any business owner at that point in time is, yes, he's still getting paid to be there. Hopefully he's not working the kind of hours that he used to, because he's getting these folks to champion his processes. And he's being able to step back, as well as they're learning how to run the operation. As a general rule, I would say 5 to 7 is a great place to go. But if you're buying somebody out that has 3 or 4 stores, there may be a longer period of time that you really need to be looking again in front of it, not behind it. Because, you know, there's nothing worse than to come up and say, I want to buy your business. Okay, here's what we want. I don't have any money.
Which is so smart, gang. You know, I've heard this story over and over again that when you're hiring anybody for your business, one of the questions to ask during the interview is, what are your plans for the future? And if someone says, I'd love to own my own shop one day, maybe you can own mine. And if that discussion continues each and every half year, when you're sitting down and doing a personal review, a 360 review, you could almost help shape the individual's budgetary crisis. I mean, if you really want to own your own shop one day, you just can't leave whatever you're doing today without any money in the bank. So if you're saving for your own future someday, well, then start saving, because you never know. I would love to retire someday, and I'm looking for a candidate. Now, I've known some shop owners, like you say, David, that, you know, took two fabulous internal candidates and worked with them over time to sell a minority share of the business. And they had plenty of time ahead of them, like 15 years before the owner was really wanting to get out. You talk about a smart, smart long-term move. And you know, Ron, I don't know how your original transaction went. Was it a quickie? Was it like 5 years, or did you just have to come up with the money? And when you bought yours?
5 years.
Any repercussions on the backside from the former family at all?
No, actually, we're still very close to this day. So it all worked out very well. The length of time you put in up front greatly, I think, minimizes that in the future.
Jessica, let me put you on the spotlight here for the finance, the accounting side of the business, and your learning curve on, for example, key performance indicators.
When I came on, I knew nothing about KPIs or what KPI even stood for. being able to have two great mentors in Dave and Dad, I've learned what those are and the key importance of how, if you don't know them, your business will not be successful. You have to know why it's important to be efficient and be productive and track those numbers so that you can have the highest performing shop to your possibilities.
Was your dad a shop owner and then realized one day he needed to be a business owner?
I would say yes. He worked in the business a lot longer than he should have, and now he works on the business where he should be.
What a great thing to teach her, Ron.
She saw the hardships for a lot of years before somebody finally prodded me enough to get me out of the back shop. So,
and who was that?
The guy that's sitting right on the screen next to me. Yeah, he did a good job of finally convincing me to step back. You'll hear it from your peers endlessly, but man, you got to get a coach in your life to teach you that you got to get away.
So, Dave, is that a recurring theme with your clients to get them, you know, up and off the counter, out of the bays and in the back office, or at least in the leadership CEO role?
Without a doubt. And I think any coach will tell you that's one of the biggest challenges. We have, 95% of us are technicians. We haven't really gone through the education and learning the business side. So once the owners really step out of working in the business and start to work on the business, what's amazing is how quickly they can find out, I can make way more money managing my business than working in it. And then once they start to have some of those wins, it becomes more and more apparent to them that, yes, I'm doing the right thing. I need to find the right talent. I need to put system operation and procedure in place and get people to champion our processes. And now I'm a business owner, not someone that owns a job.
Let's jump into some money issues here, okay? You were talking about, you know, the profit first book and, you know, putting money away in specific accounts. Did one day you say, hey, let's put some money away so that we can do this? Was it you telling Jessica to put money away, or were you just letting the business figure out how to fund this?
Ideally, I don't know if every situation will be the same, but for us, it's a matter of she puts money in and we match a portion of that as the business to give her ample time to, when the day comes that I've agreed to leave, she can give me a percentage of the money up front and then pay me over time.
My God Almighty, you just said when the day comes. So don't tell me, but is there a date on the calendar?
There's a date in my life. When I turn 60, I don't plan to be here anymore.
And are you going to just like say, Dad, it's time?
I can say that, but he probably won't listen.
She thinks it's time already.
Yeah, absolutely.
I tell him he can agreement. Work from home. It's okay.
What I heard is, hey, Dad, I'm ready. And Dad says, really, but I'm not ready to slow down yet. I mean, it's my baby. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, the baby's still a teenager. And yet there's an adult ready to take over the business. Have you had that discussion amongst both of you?
Oh, yeah. She's very good at supporting Dave and pushing me out a little more every week. She rides me to work more from home, spend more time. You know, I'm still the 5 in the morning till 6 at night kind of guy.
I just want to say, and how many hours do you need to be there?
Maybe 2 or 3, if that.
If that.
It's just a matter of, you know, when you've done this for almost 40 years, it's hard not to. It's hard not to just come in and do the thing. I mean, my wife gives me crap every day. She says, hey, you built an office here. Why don't you use it? Because I drive into work every day. That's what I do.
I was talking to Mike Tadich the other day, and he was telling me that he's an FT kind of guy, a full throttle, and so am I. And Ron, it sounds like you are too. When you're a full throttle guy, what do you replace it with? And, you know, you almost have to create, like your wife says, you've got an office here, you know, maybe you can learn to play store from home.
Now, we're quickly trying to build that other side of my, what I'm doing with my future. So once we get that ramped up, I won't have as much time for here. So I'll have to use that office at home.
Jessica, are you warm to the fact that you want this transition to happen?
Oh, absolutely. I felt like that for a while. This is still his baby. It has been for many years. And I know he's not mentally ready to just step back 100%. So a little bit at a time, and that's fine. Whatever we need to do.
How often are you two discussing the succession plan and or your grooming process in the business?
I think, I mean, in everyday conversation, there's something that we discuss that you don't even realize. It's not like we plan to sit down and discuss it, but just in general conversation. I mean, we're together 10 hours a day. I spend more time with my dad than I do my husband.
Let's dive a little more headstrong, David, into, you know, the silos and putting money away, earmarking, like we discussed in the book Profit First.
As Ron said, some of the things that they've put forth is that he's putting money into a silo, as well as Jessica's putting money into a silo.
By the way, that's really smart, by the way. Really, really smart. You're matching company funds to Jessica's personal funds? Is that what you're doing?
Correct.
So you can almost lay that out as part of someone's compensation package as well. But when we're in front of it, not behind it, and we're doing this, there's just so many opportunities that are made by those dollars being in those silos. Whether you want to move it, the sale up sooner, or it needs to take a longer period of time. But at the same point in time, you have to come down and have that plan in place of exactly what that business is going to be worth. Have you gotten the business evaluated? So on and so forth. There's a million different prices that people talk about what you get on EBITDA and 3x, 5x, 7x. You know, all of that has to be discussed. The plan has to be put in place. And then I always move it backwards and figure it out. We need X amount of years. We have to put this amount of money put away, so on and so forth. And we build a plan, just like you're going to build a plan when you go in a business plan when you go to buy a business.
You said something about EBITDA. You know, we've done shows, David, on, you know, selling your business and, you know, outright, never internal. And, you know, the funny thing about it, David, you may have been on one of the shows that we did when the owner says, yeah, I'm going to retire and I'm going to sell my business. Well, great. That's wonderful. Well, what do you want for your business? I want $1 million. And anybody who knows or is smart, or, you know, they start rolling on the floor laughing and saying, wow, they're clueless, because you just mentioned EBITDA. And what I want to know about an internal family candidate, do those numbers still play in that kind of transaction of a family member?
I'm a business coach, so I work for Jessica and Ron, right? So, if you will, there has to be a rhyme and reason. So, for me, the first thing is go out and get a professional evaluation. And that's where everything starts, and then go from there. I know in the sale of my businesses, I had a professional evaluation before I even was approached by somewhere or whatever. So I had a good idea of exactly what it was truly worth. Unfortunately, not what my heart told me it was worth, but it was really worth. Once you have that, I work backwards. If it's a family member and it's something that you feel they should have for less, God bless you. But when people work their whole lives for that, I think that there's a sense that you have to get what it's worth for your other family members. And I know that my father did when I purchased his business. So it was business. That's where the line was drawn for us. I'm sure in other families it may not be that way. But I respected the heck out of him for him doing that, because he and my mother had a great retirement, and God bless him.
Ron, was that one of the toughest things for you and Jessica to deal with, was to come up and evaluate the business?
No, it was actually pretty simple. You got to get professional evaluation, of course, but then you got to decide in your heart of hearts, is that truly what you think it's worth, or is it, over time, is it going to be easier to make the load lighter for her? Or on the other side of it, if we're successful and grow this business, it should be worth more money. The ultimate decision has to be, if you're going to carry the note, how long you're going to carry that note. The other thing that selling to a family member, and Dave will get not happy with me for saying this, but when you sell a business, you're basically selling a cash flow. That guy's buying cash flow. When I'm selling to my daughter and I have a predecided plan and I know this business is successful, the extent of that cash flow is not as important to me. So I reinvest a lot of money into my business. I buy a lot of equipment. We're very technically driven. I don't have to worry about having to explain to somebody where all that money went every day, because she's part of it. She knows what's going on. She's not an outsider coming in. The candidate that's going to teach your business needs to be involved in those purchases if they're going to be an internal candidate, so they realize what they're getting. For me, determining the number was easy. She knows I won't let up on what I do, so I'm going to continue to make this place as big as I can make it. The number we agreed upon 10 years ago will be a very small number when the day finally comes in comparison to where the business is at.
And you said that Dave would take exception with your opinion that your that cash flow wasn't it. But Dave, let me ask you this question. Shouldn't it be different for family?
Again, I just have to go back to my experience. You know, for me, buying out my father, you know, he came to me and he said, hey, this is Mom and I's retirement. So it wasn't about that I paid him way too much, but we got it evaluated and it was a business move. And I respected him for it. He was there every minute to help me on anything that I ever needed. So it wasn't, you know, hey, I got my money, we'll see ya. I love my father dearly. Each situation when you're dealing with family is different. You talk about a non-family member, though, and you go all the way to the hill and you're in that seventh year. And then, unfortunately, life gets in the way. Tragedy happens in their life or life changes. And then all of a sudden, they choose to go a different direction. So even when you're building those silos, and I don't want to get off topic, you're building those silos and putting that money away, but that's still in your account. And then when the transaction goes, it goes towards that other person. When it's family, it's a little bit different. But with that said, you know, I think a family decision is just that. It's a family decision.
I have so loved this. This was a very good eye-opening episode for the industry to hear, no matter if they have the same circumstance as Ron and Jessica, but there's still so much enlightenment. Ron, David, you know the number of people that want to transist their business, that want to sell their business. They're late to the table. They missed the wedding.
You know, it's funny, but that's not funny. It's unfortunate. And that's right. Why people need to implement today. Start from today. If that's a plan you're going to put in place, work the plan.
And so remember, everyone who's listening, we key these talking points into the show notes page on my website. So you could listen through mobile and through a podcast listening app. But if you go to my website, and these key talking points that came from Ron and David and Jessica are going to be there. Any episode I've ever done, and you could literally take that clip, copy, cut, paste, and then build a meeting agenda around it. And if it's not a meeting agenda for you, it's a maybe step-by-step thing that you can do to start doing a internal transition, a transaction in your business to a candidate. Let's do a final give up to the industry for, you know, whatever you'd love to say. And Jessica, thanks so much for being here. Congratulations on doing a transaction with your dad, and hopefully one day you'll be back on and you'll tell us the story of how the day that dad walked out and he gave you a big hug and says, can I still come by for coffee?
Let's see if that day ever comes.
Hey, now.
Any final words?
I just want to thank you very much for having me on today. This has been very enlightening and very honored to be a part of it. So thank you.
Best of luck to you. Ron, how about you? Any words to the industry about this?
If you have any thoughts or any candidates in your mind, you got to get that out in the open. Like I had said in my points, you can't assume that that person wants to be that person or you're selecting them. You got to let them know that. You got to get that dialogue opened up ASAP.
Boy, that's the key. I think we almost started out with that, and that's what I continue to hear over and over again. The lines of communication are not strong when it comes to, no matter if it's family or whatever. And God bless families with multiple family members. Those are really tough transactions. They really are. David, you have the final word, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, Carm, for all you do first and in the industry and everything. But one of the things that I would just say to all the folks out there is we got to start early. You got to build a plan and you need to implement one bite out of the elephant at a time. If you don't ask those questions to whether it's family members or people that are working with you, for you, you're getting behind it. And whenever we see so many people that walk away from their businesses, it's just heartbreaking. Don't be one of those folks. Implement now and get in front of it. Don't be behind it. Thanks again, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.